We're talking with Oklahoma Senior Senator Jim Inhofe. Senator Inhofe, I know that you're very pleased that your committee that you've chaired at one time, the Environment and Public Works Committee, had the chance to have this hearing on the Navigable Waters Protection Rule, which basically does replace the old Obama era WOTUS rule, and that's something that that you've had a lot you've invested a lot of your time and energy in seeing that that thing done away with and this new rule in place.
You know, we did, Ron. I can't tell you the hours and hours and days that we spent working on this. To refresh the memory of our listeners, and I can remember you and I've talked about this way back when it was happening, that was back during the Obama administration. And he was bound and determined to take the jurisdiction of water from the states and put it in the federal government. Now, we take a state like Oklahoma. You get out in the panhandle. It's pretty arid out there, and I've been out there when it's very hot and arid. And yet, all it would take is just one downpour and with some standing water, and all of a sudden, that would have to go to the federal government. They would probably declare it as a wetlands. That would cause our farmers not to be able to plant their crops where they wanted to plant them, and all the other hardships. I have to say this, during the consideration of what the Obama administration was doing with the change in the water jurisdiction, that was one that was considered to be the number one issue of the Farm Bureau at that time, and many others the same. So the good news was then this president, who is a lot of the many of the things that this president, President Trump, has done that is really great, is done away with a lot of these over regulations where it puts government where we are just losing our freedom to government. So he came in and with his effort, did away with that rule, the rule from the Obama administration, the WOTUS rule, and put in our rule, which is very common sense. And I think the farmers and ranchers are celebrating still with that great change that was made. So it was a big deal, Ron. That was a major thing. If it's all right with you, I want to mention the other one, which has been one of my projects for a long, long period of time. That committee that I'm still on, the Environment Public Works Committee, and have chaired that committee, that has jurisdiction over the Endangered Species Act, and it's the one that when I talk to people, and we actually put the American burying beetle on the endangered species list. They ask the question, what in the world is wrong with those people in Washington doing something stupid like that? Now, when you stop and think about it, once that's endangered, and this is a beetle, this is a bug, one thing that, I mean, the owls may like it, but nonetheless, it's still a bug. And all that they did was change that and make it endangered. Well, who does that affect? Not just farmers telling you what crops you can plant and where you can plant them, but also people who are building roads and highways. They've had to change the right-of-way in the direction of roads and highways to accommodate the suspected habitat of the American burying beetle. It affects everyone. And so that was one of the major things that I was so proud of. The president just the other day used his Fish and Wildlife to change that, and we now have taken that off of the endangered species list. Now, it's still, when you take something off of the endangered species list, Ron, it goes down, the next step down is threatened. And so it's now on a list that's threatened. But everyone who was encumbered and had problems with accommodating that endangered species thing, they all say, well, threatened is not going to create the problem, and the next step is to make it to delist it, which we will do, but this is the first step before delisting. So that's another big thing that I think a lot of our audience out there that I've spent a lot of time talking to the farmers and ranchers in Oklahoma, I think that it's kind of like the WOTUS rule. They're aware of this, and they're aware of the threats that are there if you somehow are molesting the habitat of some bug. So anyway, that's good news for everyone. It just happened, and hopefully the people are now aware of it.
And of course, on the endangered species list, the threatened category as well, you and I have had the conversation more than once about that lesser prairie chicken as well.
Well, that's true, too. I mean, that's one that, and both of these are primarily in about a 5-state area surrounding Oklahoma. And the lesser prairie chicken is one also that was on this list. And we have fought that. I remember during the Obama administration, they actually agreed, the Fish and Wildlife people agreed with this, but still they wouldn't allow the president at that time, the White House would not allow us to get that done. So you're right. It's not just the burying beetle. And it's kind of funny because I gave a speech on this last week when we were having a hearing on the endangered species listing of the American grizzly bear. Now, right now, the big problem they have is the grizzlies are larger than they ever have been before. There are more of them than there have ever been before. And there are a lot of people up there, certainly the ranchers and the farmers in that part of the world, that part of America, were very much concerned about it. And because it's, you know, the coyote, all kinds of problems were there. And so it was funny because since they talked about grizzly bears, I said, that's something big. Let's talk about something little. Let's talk about the American burying beetle. That type of abuse has been going on for a long time.
Senator, I know that you had the opportunity to meet on a virtual basis with some of the members from American Farmers Ranchers Oklahoma Farmers Union.
Oh, yes.
And they had several things they were concerned about. A lot of farmers, of course, in our state and ranchers are concerned about if there's going to be some additional help under the Coronavirus Food Assistance Program, CFAP. There's been talk about it, but we really haven't seen much as of yet. And there's obviously a couple of our bigger commodities, winter wheat and cattle, have a lot at stake.
Yeah, they do. And I did talk to that group. The thing is that there are three programs that total $400 billion. One is the small business, the PPP program. That's $310 billion. The other is the SBA, the Economic Injury Disaster Loan Program. That was $60 billion. And the third and last one was the food assistance program that you just now referenced. Now, I can say this about those two things about those programs. One is there's money left over, and while nothing has happened to improve the size of those programs, there's still some money left over. But what people may not realize, and I know that you do, but the phase four that we put together, this is a week ago tomorrow, this is 6 days ago, on Thursday of last week, the Republicans said, let's take all the stuff, including these programs, and if you want to access and see what we had, and have that as a phase four COVID package program. And so, unfortunately, the day before we introduced that, and we thought that everyone was in agreement, Democrats and Republicans alike, the Democrats got together and said, let's all vote against it. Then we can, and when it doesn't pass, we can blame Trump for it. Well, Trump was very supportive of it. And so that did not pass. Every single Republican voted for it. And if they want to know what was in it, you can access my website, inhofe.senate.gov. If you access that, you can look and see just what it was that would have been in a phase four package, except the Democrats, every last Democrat voted against it. And so that didn't happen. But, you know, it's important that people understand that, you know, that those things are going on. It's all just because we're right on the edge of an election. And quite frankly, and I know some of your listeners out there may not agree with this, but I give you my word that this president has been one of the best presidents for farmers and ranchers that we've ever had. And he's very supportive. I can remember one time talking to him, and he said, well, let me ask you that in that phase two, were the farmers and ranchers in that? And I believe that was one that they were not in, and I remember as a result of it, I opposed that. So you've got a president who's working really hard right now, in addition to the great things he's doing, like the peace in the Middle East that's going on, bringing the Arab nations in with Israel, all the things that have been happening recently. And the big thing is this. This, I believe, Ron, is going to be a decisive factor that will cause our president to win. I know some of the people listening to us right now may not appreciate him like I do, but he gave us, before this disaster hit this country that no one could stop, we had the best economy in my lifetime. And so really good things were happening. But what is happening now is law and order. Look at all these countries, these states around the United States. One of them is, which one was there? Yeah, Portland, Oregon. Portland and in Oregon, all I can say is they must be afraid of the terrorists. They have people that are coming into Oregon, tearing up the entire state and saying this is just peaceful, people peacefully demonstrating, when they're terrorists. I mean, you know, they're killing policemen and all that. So our law and order president is going to, I think that's going to be the clinching issue that will reelect him as president of the United States. Sorry I had to say that, but this thing, you know, Kay and I have been married 60 years. We have 20 kids and grandkids, and their futures depend on that.
Let's talk about the election from your perspective as well. You're running for yet another term. You know, how do you feel about as you've gotten out and started doing some campaigning? You know, what are you hearing from Oklahomans?
Well, you know, it's I have been recognized fairly recently as being the most conservative member of the United States Senate. What was the group? GovTrack. Yeah, GovTrack came out and singled me out. Well, it's a conservative state, and you know, I think it's fine that we have a far left liberal Democrat running against me. I want to remind everyone, I not only have one person running against me, but I have four people running against me. They'll be on the ballot on the 3rd, and that's because three people filed as independents, and they're going to run as conservatives. So it's going to be four people against me on the. But I feel very good about it. And I think I know Oklahomans. There's no one who knows Oklahomans better than I do. I've been all over the state for many, many years. It's kind of funny, Ron, because when I run for re-election, my strongest support comes out of the rural areas. I feel good about it. It's going to happen. It's going to be over with soon, and we'll all breathe easier.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Jim Inhofe, a senior member of the Oklahoma Congressional Delegation, or senior senator for the state, talking about some of the things going on in the Environment and Public Works Committee and more in Washington, D.C. On the Oklahoma Farm Report, I'm Ron Hayes.